Something is missing in your home tonight. If you're an average New Yorker coming home from work tonight, there will be something different when you get home. The children will ask, "Daddy, let's see the funny sheet." And you'll have to lower your eyes and think up some excuse. For what child can understand if you say there are no funnies tonight? No, something will be missing. But not for long, because your city station has undertaken the job of keeping the peace and quiet in your family by direction of His Honor Mayor LaGuardia. It was the mayor's suggestion that we preserve the tranquility of your home by bringing you this daily report on the activities of your favorite comic strip characters, the people whose adventures you were unable to follow today because of the strike by the newspaper delivery men. And so here with us this evening is the well-known raconteur and wit, one of the stars of the program Can You Top This?, and the man who will tell you what befell your comic strip heroes today, Joe Lawrie Jr.
Thank you. I can't tell you how glad I am to be here tonight, kids, and you grown-ups, too. In fact, I'm happy and proud and privileged to be able to read comic strips. I've read them for years to myself, but I've never read them in public. I'm not going to compete with our great mayor. I heard him Sunday, and he thrilled me, and he made me happy that I was a New Yorker. You know, our mayor, he doesn't merely say something, but he always has something to say. And to take off that time from a speech to take care of the kiddies of our city and to read them the funnies, I thought that was a great gesture. And only comes from a great, big, busy man who takes care of one of the greatest cities, the greatest city in the world. And remember, it was for the kiddies, and they can't vote either. So you heard Harry Hirschfeld yesterday, one of my buddies on the Can You Top This program, and tonight, you're going to hear me, if you're going to keep listening. And Thursday, you're going to hear Senator Ford. He won't be here tomorrow because we have our broadcast tomorrow, WOR, plug. But tomorrow, a friend of ours is going to talk to you and tell you about the comics. He's a great fella, great comedian, an old newspaper man. He used to sell old newspapers, I think, in Philadelphia. He's an old vaudeville man. You've seen him many times. He's been on the screen, on radio, and now is one of the stars of Hollywood Pinafore. His name is Russ Brown, and I know you're going to enjoy him very much. He speaks a very high-grade English. He learned it at the Lambs. He has a Harvard accent with a Bronx twist to it. And now, let me see. Harry Hirschfeld gave you a surprise last night, which he always does. He told you Palooka for today. You remember, he gave you a day ahead on Palooka. Well, I'm going to read Palooka that he told you about today. And then I have a surprise for you, too. I have Palooka for tomorrow. You see, I know Hamilton Fisher, too. So I'm going to start with Palooka in the mirror. Now, there's a picture of Palooka swimming. You know, remember, he was out swimming among the sharks and all. And he says, while he's swimming, he says, "I don't see nothing." "Oh, yes, I do. There's a buoy. It wasn't there the other day." And you see him in the next picture climbing up to this thing, and there's wires. There's wires all over the thing there. And he says, "Ah, here's wire. Wonder where it goes. Golly, there comes the Nazis. I better stay down. Listen, this is a tough spot." And he sees two Nazis coming towards him. And the two Nazis are speaking in the next picture. They're on this little island, and they say, "Druten said the Americans wanted to come out here, but he led them to another place." And the other German says, "The buoy is still in place. See if the wire is still connected. Pull on it." That's the end of the picture. Wait, I'll tell you a little later what Palooka does tomorrow. And now we come to the World Telegram, Little Red Rider. I love that. I love that thing. You remember they kidnapped little Bussick? Little Beaver, rather. And the girl says to him, he's tied to a tree, and she says, "Did Bussick or Boomer hurt you, little Beaver?" And little Beaver, the little Indian boy, says, "No, Missy Beth, but me plenty mad. Want to bust them their nose, you betcham." That's an Indian talking. The next picture shows the fellow looking in the grip with a lot of money in it, and his gun is out. He says, "The express money is all here, Duchess." And the Duchess says, "Good. Now I won't lose my ranch I put up as bond." See, she put up her ranch as a bond. And then they stole the money. "Duchess, I reckon you'll have to turn back to Rimrock." That's Red Rider speaking. He says, "Sure, Red. I'll haul those crooks to jail. Toss them in the wagon." They got a big wagon there, one of those covered wagons. And Little Red Rider's there. He says, and the driver of the wagon says, by golly, I ought to charge a sheriff big freight rates for lousing up my wagon. That's the end of that. Now we go to one of the great strips of America in the Mirror, Little Abner. You remember? His mother told him yesterday not to shake hands. She saw that thing, and she says, never shake hands with anybody. And this big fella comes along and says, and Abner says to himself, no shaking hands with nobody, nowhere, nohow. I promised Mammy, and Mammy knows best. Dave Dogmeat, my old enemy, he sees him coming along. And Dave Dogmeat says, hi there. He was fit all our natural lives we've been fitting. He says, let's call the whole thing off and be friends. Shake, and he puts out his hands to Little Abner, and Little Abner says, nothing doing. See, he remembers what his mother told him to do. And the other fellow says, he says, listen, I ask you like a gentleman to forget our silly quarrel and shake hands, and you refuse. You knows what that means? And Little Abner, with the other fellow's hand around his throat, says, I do. Then fella hits him, and he sobs. He says, I refuse to shake his hand, which he give him the right to bash my face in, but groan. I'm sure Mammy knows best. And you see the other guy walking away, Dave Dogmeat. Now we don't know what's going to happen to Little Abner. He's up against the tree, all busted up. Now, of course, we come to Dick Tracy. Ah, old Dick. You remember she hid in the laundry wagon yesterday? Harry told you about that. Well, the first picture shows the butler and Dick Tracy and this woman, and the butler says, all I know, ma'am, is that I saw the maid going upstairs to her room 20 minutes ago. She was carrying a roasting pan. And Dick Tracy is having something in his hand here, some cloaks, and he says, it's apparent that she left her room in a hurry. Her uniform bears several spots that appear to be blood. He's gazing all over the uniform. The next picture shows Bleeding Heart in the laundry wagon. And, you know, the fellow discovered her there, the laundry driver. And she says, all right, Wet Wash, you've guessed it. I am sort of avoiding the authorities. And Wet Wash says, and you're so young, too. And she says, you look like a practical guy, Wet Wash. How much do you want to keep your mouth shut? And he says, old lady, how you talk. Why, that would be unethical. That would be unthinkable. How about half? The laundry wagon is all closed up, and they're driving away. Russ Brown will tell you tomorrow's. Then we go to the Journal American, my old friend Brandon Walsh's cartoon, Little Annie Rooney, a great cartoon. And this Lady Bountiful is down to the old section there, and she says, what an atrocious neighborhood, unsanitary, depressing. How does anything human manage to live here? They're in all the slums there. You see the little houses, the shacks and everything. The little boy's carrying the groceries she's giving out. And she says, believe me, lady, it's not like living on Easy Street. The next picture shows this Lady Bountiful giving out these groceries and things to the kids. And the little girl says, heaven bless your kind heart, lady. And she says, here's my card. Call at my home tomorrow morning. And little Annie Rooney says, you visited poor folks living across the railroad tracks? She says, not a visit, merely trying to help them. That ends that. Then comes my old friend, Martin Branagh's little Weenie Winkle. Young lady, what are you doing draped around Miss Winkle's desk? This is an officious-looking fella. And little Daisy, you know Daisy, she says, oh, just dishing the dirt. She's dishing the dirt with Weenie. The next picture shows her with a lot of baskets in her arms. He says, what is your position here, may I ask? And she says, why, I'm the office girl. And he says, you were. Hereafter, we'll have an office boy. And little Daisy gets sore, and she says, oh, yeah? And who do you think you are around here? And Weenie says, Daisy, that's Mr. Percival Prissy, the efficient expert Mr. Bibbs hired to reorganize the plant. Well, you can imagine how Daisy looks. She's almost fallen over. And now we have, Harry read you this yesterday, and I'm reading you the next one, Bringing Up Father, one of the really great cartoons of America. And Mrs. Jig says, she says, you always said my brother didn't like you. Well, he just sent you this box of cigars. Now, do you see how wrong you have been? And Jig says, cigars for me, from your brother? The next picture shows him looking at the cigars. He says, well, I guess I've been wrong. I always thought he disliked me. The next picture we see him puffing away on a cigar, and he says, you know, I shouldn't have been so harsh in judging his opinion of me. The next picture, you see him laid out and stars all around him. He's dizzy. He's all dizzy, and he says, oh, now I know he hates me, all right. These cigars would kill a mule. And he falls over in a dead faint. Now, I'm going to tell you, see, I told you I knew Ham Fisher, and he sent me tomorrow's palooka. This is tomorrow's, which you'll hear in the morning anyway. But this is tomorrow. Now, we see Nobby Walsh making a speech. He's working in a factory, remember? He's working in a defense plant. And this says, July 4th, 1945, we take time out from our story on this greatest day in the American calendar to remind those at home. And he says, you guys here at the plant have asked me to say a few words. All right. Well, all I can say is we still need the same cooperation to the war effort. Then the next picture is shaking his fist at him. He says, as you give before, a good many millions of fine guys have died since the first July 4th to build democracy, the grandest form of government the world ever knew. It sure makes me proud to know you're American. Then the next picture and the last picture says, and don't forget this. We licked the Nazi bums who preached race hatred, and we're licking them Jap savages, too. Now, let's keep the American creed. Life, liberty, and equal rights for all. And thanks, folks. And now, let's all get back to work. That's tomorrow's palooka. Now, I think I have a few minutes. Another one? We must have one. I know the kids love this. In fact, I love it from the Brooklyn Daily Eagle. Ella Cinders. And, you know, the two criminals there. It says, sorry, I had to detain you this way, Henry. He says, have you blown the whistle yet, sir? He says, no, Henry. I'm going to let Ella Cinders blow it herself. And he says, and where will we be, sir, when she blows it? He says, you and I will board a train and be miles away from the scene of the crime. He says, it's a very good idea, sir. He says, you're a genius, sir, to let the victim assist in destroying herself. He says, oh, shucks, Henry, it was easy. Now, tomorrow you'll see what Ella Cinders does. Does she destroy herself, or doesn't she? And I guess that's about all the time I have, but I don't want to finish just with the funnies. I want to thank the mayor again of this great city for taking time out and giving the kids these little things, these comics, to see that they read them and see them. I have a poem here by Thomas Guthrie, which I think fits our mayor very well. It's just a short poem. Just want to finish with this thought. Here it is. I live for those who love me, for those who know me true, for the heaven that bends above me and the good that I can do, for the wrongs that need resistance, for the cause that lack assistance, for the future in the distance, and the good that I can do. So don't forget, tomorrow you will hear Russ Brown from Hollywood Pinafore. He will read the funnies to you. And Thursday, my old pal Senator Ford will read them to you. And my last words to you folks is patience and fortitude.
Thank you, Joe Lurie, Jr. Thank you for enabling our thousands of New York youngsters and oldsters, too, to go to bed happy and peaceful tonight, safe in the knowledge that their comic strip heroes have successfully come through another day of peril and adventure. And remember, folks, as long as this newspaper delivery strike lasts, your city station will broadcast these daily comic strip roundups twice daily, the morning papers at 8.05 a.m. and the evening paper strips at 6.15 p.m., with Harry Hirschfield, Senator Ford, Joe Lurie Jr., and Peter Donald of the Can You Top This program, who are appearing at the invitation of the mayor. And for all the latest world and local news, stay tuned to the Municipal Broadcasting System.